God is good. He's having a good time. Hallelujah. I'm having a good time, but I'm not looking. Amen? I'm not looking. If I were to look, I might be disappointed, or I might be, I might think things were not going my way, but I choose not to do that. You know, Jeff talked about it a little bit, was that all of the opportunities that we have, he may not have said it this way, but it came to me, we have all the opportunities to not trust. Amen? To not trust. We have all these opportunities every day. And what's important is to every day, instead of waiting for whatever's going to happen, just to get up and with it, I have an expectancy. I'll just talk about me. I have an expectancy that God is good. I have an expectancy that everything is going my way. Amen? In fact, I don't really have to work it up. Usually. I usually don't have to work it up because I've been meditating on it, and it's the Holy Spirit, it's just the Word of God is in me to do that. And I want you to do that. I want you to be in that place. Anybody who's, I don't necessarily have to raise your hand, but be in that place. Get there. Get to that place to where you are getting up and it's not, and your first thought is not, oh my gosh, I hear people say that kind of thing. It's kind of like you got to go down and rev the thing up, in the morning, rev the thing up. I just get up, hey, and I don't necessarily even get up dancing or anything. It's just, I am just stable. Amen? Just, Janet maybe can tell you. Nothing by and large, here comes something tomorrow, right? Oh, don't say that, brother. It's coming tomorrow. It won't come Monday, but for you, it'll come Tuesday. And, come when you're least expecting it. No, it's that daily. Listen. Daily, walk in that, enjoy that. That's what Colossians is about. So many of the epistles, I've said this, is that they begin with giving you a foundation which says, I thank God for what He's done in you. And then he begins to go on to describe it and how he's praying that you might be filled with all the knowledge of the wisdom of God, and that the Holy Spirit is doing mighty, mighty works through you. That, meditate on that. Don't meditate on the last chapter in the book that says, therefore, do 10 things. Most preaching is, there. You skip the part that God did, and you go straight to the part that you're supposed to do. Does anybody have that? I mean, is that an amen point? Is that an action item? Is that most folks have that opinion. Now, hopefully, you guys have been beaten down enough to know that that's not the case, is that it's not about, and again, good works are great, but they don't come from your attempts to please God. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah, and I know we say that too much, but you can't say it enough. And now, most people aren't really like that. You just want to please God, and hallelujah. Because that's in your heart. Your heart is to please the Father. I agree. I know that. Amen? But I'm almost preaching to pastors here. Which is y'all. In other words, y'all been here and doing this so long, is I'm encouraging you to encourage somebody else. Get them out of that roller coaster. Get them off that merry-go-round. That help people not be under that. Help people be under the joy of their salvation. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, that's it. I mean, first of all, tell yourself. Yeah, hallelujah. Do I complain? Yes, absolutely. But it doesn't last long. It doesn't last long. It's kind of like, praise the Lord. Some people they live, depressed, or they forsake the God of their salvation. In other words, they kind of have begun to live just kind of on level one, level the bottom level of their salvation, which is, I'm going to heaven. Help somebody get off of that. Encourage them. Just give them one thing to do. One thing to do that will help them to encourage them, to get up, get them one scripture that they can meditate on for a week. Just something. Something that is a prescription for deliverance for somebody, that they can begin to take one step toward freedom. Amen? One step. I mean, you can't live with people. You can't live with them every day. You know, you work with people. You can't spend all day with that. But what you can do is just give them something. Give them something. I mean, you see people every day. So you want to give them something that they can begin to chew on, and they can at least see that you have something that's at least making your life enjoyable. Amen? So that's what we do. That's why we're here. That's why we are still waking up in the morning. Amen? That's what Norma does. Norma, for instance. She will go out and she will make it her mission to tell somebody. I mean, everybody in that hospital knows that Jesus is her, you know, is her all in all. Amen? I mean, it's just, you know, that is when she's not really feeling bad, you know, or something, you know. But she is sharing something, and she'll find out if that person, Christian. First thing she'll ask, are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus? You know, not do you go to church. Are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus? You know. And so that's you know, what we, let God give you yours, your means of sharing the good news and the gospel. Amen? All right, Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be to you. This sounds like a lot of messages, doesn't it? Grace be to you. I can say that to you. Grace, listen, y'all. Grace be to you. Grace. Here it comes. Ready? Grace be to you. So Paul can actually say, grace be to you. Amen? He's declaring to you what you already have. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. So that love that they have to all the saints, it wasn't something that they just came up with. It wasn't something that they decided to do. They saw Jesus, or they heard about Jesus, and then they decided they'd love too. No, anything that is born of God comes from Him. Amen? There's Romans 5:5 right here. Is that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So we know these guys have received the living God. We know these guys have received the Holy Ghost. So we give thanks to God and our Father and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. So we heard that you have faith in Christ Jesus, and we also have heard that it's bearing fruit. Amen? Well, those guys got saved. Well, good. But we also heard that there's something happening down there. Is that the love of God is being shed abroad in their neighborhood by the Holy Ghost. And for the hope, I stuck the and in there, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. So we're giving thanks for that. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. So everything that we have is that we're holding our, hanging our hat on, is because of what we heard. What does it say in Romans 10? Since we here we go back up to verse 4. It says, since we heard of your faith. Well, how does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing. How does hearing what? hearing the Word of God. So they're either hearing a letter from Paul or Silas or Timothy, or they're hearing one another, encouraging one another and building up one another. You know, when we meet together in a house church or, you know, or some a fellowship of some kind, you know, always be ready to be ready to share. Not just with, you know, I mean, not just for somebody that you don't know, but somebody that you have fellowship with regularly. Always be ready to. Don't feel like, you know, well, they already know that. Amen? There are times to go ahead and just, hey, you know what I heard from the Lord the other day? You know, I mean, you know, you think, you know, Danny, big teacher, good teacher, and he don't need anything. No, go share with Danny. Go share with me. Tell me something that the Holy Spirit said. You know, don't be not, you know, I mean, Clay, big scholar, you know. Yeah, Clay's got it all down. Go share something. Go share with Clay. You know, he loves stuff. He loves to hear something. Isn't that right? It's a good word. Amen. Is always enjoy. Nobody is bigger than you, okay? Nobody's bigger than you that, you know, can hear the gospel better than you. Well, Pastor Jim did. No, go share with the guy. You know, he already knows it. That's fine. If God told you to go do it, do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go do it. Go do it. Amen. He'll appreciate it. I tell you, you know, we appreciate it. I mean, we want to hear. Not all night, but we want to hear. You know, we do have business hours. Praise the Lord. Well, not business hours, just sleeping hours, I guess, you know. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Especially Pastor Jim. Amen. I mean, he will be 77, so, yeah. Praise the Lord. And he's not shy about that. Amen. All right. Since we heard of your faith, for the hope which is laid up for you, whereof you heard the word of truth of the gospel, which is come to you as it is in all the world and brings forth fruit, as it does also in you. So this word of truth of the gospel comes to you, and it is come to all the world, and it what? Brings forth fruit. It brings forth fruit. It does. The word of God come to you by faith brings forth fruit. Fruit. It happens. Its fruit is coming up. Amen? In other words, new blessing and new demonstrations of God's character are coming up through you. Amen? Do you expect that? I do. Yeah, yeah. I do. Not because I'm anything. I'm not anything. It's because of His Word. His Word actually does stuff. The Word of God is seed. If you'll remember, you know, you can either look at Mark or you can look at Luke, how the Word of God is likened to seed. It is planted and it brings forth fruit. It grows, it goes into the ground and dies. Into you. Have you noticed that? Mm-hmm. Actually, it seems to go into you and die. But actually, it's working. If somebody were to plant something in there and all of a sudden it started growing, and the Holy Spirit started moving on the inside of you and changing you. You know, sometimes if you'll avail yourself of the Word of God, you may not even see it working until, like, down the road. And all of a sudden, something begins to change. Well, that Word doesn't seem to be working. I keep putting it in there. I read it and I meditate on it. It just doesn't seem to be doing a whole lot. Well, it's because it hadn't run across. It's kind of like an antibiotic. It's kind of going around looking for a disease to attack and finally got it. Yeah. Got one. Amen? The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to go inside you, in your soul, in your mind, in your body, and attack the enemy and destroy the enemy. Amen? So powerful. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Hebrews 4:12. Alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, better than any antibiotic. And it'll wipe out It'll wipe out things. It'll wipe out the enemy. Amen? Yeah. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It knows how to divide. It knows how to cut between exactly in perfect order. It's better than laser surgery. Amen?
That's right.
Greg, it's better than laser surgery. Amen.
Right.
Powerful is that the Word of God. See, and, you know, we have all these evidences of things that, you know, maybe, I'm sure God gave, I mean, you read the book of Revelation, you see all kinds of descriptions of all kinds of things that if you look at the descriptions today, you go, oh, that's one of those. That's F-16, F-35, I know what that is. That's a bazooka, you know, and so we know what these things, we can see. Now, we may not even yet know what it is. We just think we know what it is. They described it. We described it. Who knows what it might be? You may be wrong. In 30 years, they might have something that's not even that, you know, and that's what it was. Amen? So you don't always know what it is, but God's going to give you something to liken it to so that you can understand what He's going to fix, what He's fixing to do with it. Okay, so that Word of God has come to you as it does in all the world. So it's spread abroad throughout the whole world. Brings forth fruit. This is the Word in you. Actually, the Word of God in you is what brings forth fruit. The Word of God doesn't bring forth fruit by itself. Amen? The Word of God doesn't bring forth fruit just say it, just being there. The Bible doesn't do anything just sitting on the pew or on your dresser. The Word of God only brings forth fruit where? In me. It only brings forth fruit in me. So that's these Colossians. They're seeing that the Word of God is bringing forth fruit in them. As it does also in you, since the day you, again, heard it. So we heard that gospel and we knew the grace of God in truth. All of a sudden it causes you to know. You have a knowing. You have a knowing that you didn't know before. Amen? So all of a sudden the Word of God also makes you smarter. The Word of God gives you revelation of things that you didn't know. Come unto me and call unto me and I will answer you, Jesus told Jeremiah. And it wasn't just like poetry. That's a scripture God gave me back when I was 16, 17. It's from a prophet couple in a church I was going to. And gave me that word, said, this is your word. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know.
Right.
Amen. Thank God. God!
Right.
Show me great and mighty things. And He does that with His Word. He shows you great and mighty things that you do not know. And even though if the Word does not say A, B, C, say, you know, this, that, and the other, He will begin to show you things that you did not know. About you, about your brother, about this. Talks about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. You know, God is giving you gifts. Amen? Okay, as it does in all the world, verse 6, in the middle of verse 6, and also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. You began to know the grace of God. The grace of God is God moving in. Grace of God is God moving in to your world. Amen? No matter what it has to do with. You know, we define it as grace and as mercy and power. But the grace of God is where you live. I live in the grace of God. Amen? It's like my car. I drive around in it. I drive around in the grace of God. I live in the grace of God. And Lord, give it to me. Show me. The grace of God is so expansive. And it's transforming me. And it's changing me. The grace of God is me living in heaven. And it affects every part of me. It affects every part of my life. Amen?
Amen?
as it affects every part of me. I walk in it. I live in it. I swim in it. I breathe it. I eat it. I live in the grace of God. It's like my little embassy. You know, you actually live in heaven. We live in heaven. We live in grace. We walk in grace. The grace of God has caused us to live in a. Even though we live in this world, we're not of it. We're of grace. Amen. So let's enjoy that. Let's enjoy walking and living in the grace of God in a new life. Your life is not only, you're not only going to go to heaven when you die, you've already arrived. Amen? And you knew the grace of God in truth. Oh, man, I know it. I know it now. I know it now. And I'm knowing it more. I'm knowing it more every day. I'm knowing it more every day. I'm knowing more of the grace of God every day. Verse 7, he says, as you also learn of Epaphras, our fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So Epaphras was sharing these things with them as well. Who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, so in other words, we began to see how God was working on the inside of you. And so for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And that's what we do. We pray for you. Yes. Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. That's very similar to what's over in Ephesians chapter 1, by the way. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, by the way. And Philippians chapter 1, by the way. These letters all begin the same way. We desire in our prayers that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing. Now again, don't pick up on the first part of verse 10 as if something you do. This is the result of the prayer and the result that you are being filled with all the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that is why you begin to walk worthy. You begin to walk in the light of what He's already done. Huh? You're walking in the light of what He's done through the wisdom and the spiritual understanding of the finished work of the grace of God. Hallelujah. So that the end is, to the end that you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, talks about how that His desire is that we come behind in no gift. Let me read it. 1 Corinthians 1. I didn't mark it. Oh. I thank my God, verse 4 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I thank my God always on your behalf. Here we go. For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. There it is. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're filled with all the knowledge and the wisdom of God, so you come behind. You're not lagging behind. It's because the gift, the wisdom and the knowledge of God is becoming your everyday breathing. Amen? You're breathing. This is how you breathe. Amen. It's like you used to breathe water, but now you breathe air finally. So I don't know what you were breathing before, but I don't know what you were smoking before. But you need to breathe this, the breath of God. Amen? Also, in 1 Corinthians 11, he talked about the communion. We talked about the communion, that you walk, he and he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. Because the gospel of God and the kingdom of the Lord came to you to deliver you from sin. Amen?
Yes.
Deliver you from sin. So if you're delivered, then you eat and drink without burden. You eat and drink the blood and the bread and the wine without burden. That I hope I'm okay. Hope I'm not sickly and gonna die if I eat this. You eat and drink with thanksgiving and confidence that you know whom you have believed and that what he did is effectual and that you're. That your sins are forgiven. Not, like fearing to, there are some religions that cause you to kind of walk fearfully rather than to walk in confidence that what he said he's able to perform. See, remember Abraham? He said, what God, Abraham believed God, that what he promised, that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Even looking at the deadness, his old ancient old body and the dead, and even if I was okay, Sarah, she's in sad shape, the deadness of Sarah's womb, he believed God's promise. How about you? Do you believe that God gave his body and blood so that you would be reminded that the work of God is finished?
Yeah. Yeah.
The work of God is finished.
Yes.
Let's walk in it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's walk in it. It's finished. All right, Hebrews. So that you might walk worthy. I'm going to get to Hebrews. I'm going to read verse 10 here. Colossians 1. Again, read verse 10. That you might walk worthy. So this is the end that comes from being filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's look over to Hebrews. Chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, listen up, to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Faith cometh by. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Oops. Oh, lost that one. No. So you give the more earnest heed to you meditate on the things that you have heard so they don't slip. So you don't forget about them. So that you continuously, again, tie that to verse 10 over there in Colossians chapter 1. Walking worthy has to do with not letting these things that God put on the inside of you slip. It doesn't mean good works. What it means is the power of the Holy Spirit to transform you inside and outside. Look at chapter 3. Look at immediately over to chapter 3 of Hebrews. He says, wherefore, brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. Put your eyes on Jesus. Consider means think about. Put him and let him be your meditation. Amen?
Yes.
Put your consideration on him. Wherefore, holy brethren. Oh no, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
Holy brethren, say it.
Holy.
Look at your neighbor and say, hey, holy brethren. Partakers of the partakers. Y'all are partakers of the heavenly calling. What he's telling the holy brethren and the partakers of the heavenly calling, now listen to what he's telling them to do. Consider Jesus. All of those of y'all who are already in the boat and walking with Jesus, remember Jesus. Consider Jesus, Consider the apostle and a high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Consider him. Now, you could go on and read further, but that's all we need of it. I mean, you remember those, and we're going to go to chapter 4 in here in just a second of Hebrews. But I'll just take that to consider Jesus. Is that you remember when Jesus was in the boat, they got in the boat, and they were going to go across, and Jesus went to sleep in the boat. Well, what were the disciples doing when the storm came up? Don't wake up, Jesus. I guess they were saying, don't wake up, Jesus, or Jesus was really sleeping. Because, I mean, they were just freaking out. You know, oh my gosh, we're going to go under. I just know it. Well, Jesus said we're going to the other side. I don't know if anybody said that. And so, but, you know, consider Jesus. He's in your boat. Consider Jesus. He's right. You know, you're sitting there right there. Things are going wrong. You're in the hospital with so-and-so. And Jesus is sitting right there with you. And you're wringing your hands, you know, talking about what's happening, you know. And Jesus is sitting right there. Consider Jesus. Let's talk to Jesus. Wake up, Jesus. Jesus, I think we got a problem here. There's a hole in the boat or something. It's a big hole. It's the whole top of the boat. The water's coming in. Yeah, there's water coming in this boat. So when you're in trouble, what do you do? Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. So he said, back in chapter 2, you remember chapter 2 of Hebrews, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time, which they could, that we would let them slip, that it might happen. So what do? Meditate upon the Word of God day and night. So consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. And chapter 4, look over there. I love these. Hebrews 2:1, 3:1, 4:1. These are great things to just, it's like a little bag of M&Ms. They're great. These are great to nibble on. Amen? They just remind me. All you need is something to nibble on. Isn't that right? I mean, you don't need a 10-point sermon sometimes. Sometimes you just need to cry out to Jesus. Sometimes you just need something. But you want to have something already in your heart. That you've already, it's already part of you. Amen. Chapter 4 of Hebrews says, let us, before I get there, I'm going to go back to remind you that we're jumping off point is Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. And that worthy walk came from verse 9 of that same chapter. That Paul's desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that you might walk worthy. So you're being filled with all the knowledge of his will and wisdom and spiritual understanding by his word. Now, Hebrews chapter... I just move too fast for my own good sometimes. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest... any of you should seem to come short of it. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us would seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So when he's saying here, let us therefore fear. Let's pay attention. If you look back at the Hebrews 2:1, where it says, we ought to give the more earnest heed. That's what that fear is. Is we ought to give a little more attention, pay a little more attention to what we've heard than to what's going on in front of our eyes. You need to fear the right thing. You need to be fearing the right enemy. Amen? Or the right thing, the right issue. For the thing that you would fear is not having the Word of God planted in your heart because it's your victory, not fearing the thing that's popping up like a whack-a-mole. Anybody know what that is? Like a, you know, like the thing that just keeps a jack in the box or something you want to just hit and keep it down and keep it from popping up in front of you. Your enemy coming at you to attack you. Amen? I really don't want to explain whack-a-mole. Anyway. It's like a bunch of devils coming up all at the same time. And you got a hammer and you're trying to keep them down. And that's you. That's your whole life. It's just keeping those devils down. Let's not fear that. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, that I would come short of it. That's what I want to avoid that. I want to avoid coming short of that, of getting a hold of that promise and enjoying that and walking in that and living in that and living in the grace of God. Huh? Let's just enjoy the grace of God. Amen? Hebrews 2:1, 3:1, 4:1. You want to write those down?
Yep.
2:1, 3:1, 4:1. Huh? Read the whole chapter 4. Go ahead and read the whole thing. All right, now. Let's get back over into Colossians chapter 1, and we'll finish what we're going to do today. All right, I'm going to read 10 again and roll into 11. So that you might walk worthy, you're filled with all knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. You're just increasing in the knowledge of God. Walking with God, you're increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. You just want to spend more time knowing how much He loves you and how much He's for you. And you know, no matter what, all the things that take place in this life, I mean, there's many, many, many things that can take place. You know, we got people, we got jobs, we got people, we got sicknesses, we got maladies, we got issues, we got 1, 2, 3, and nobody's life is the same. Everybody, I notice that everybody's got a different family from me. And I notice that your family is different than my family. And I know that there's no way that I'm going to come live with you. Hallelujah. And you don't want me living with you because I got my own oddities. And I know Danny does. Praise the Lord. He's an elder in the church. I can talk about him. Guess I should talk about Jeff, but he's not sitting here, so I could talk about David Borchardt. But I'm not. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I don't have to live with you. Thank the Lord. I don't have to. And I'm not going to. I've got my own. And you don't want mine. Amen? Everybody's got their own. But you know what? You've got God who lives with you. And He lives in your house. And He lives in your heart. And He lives in your middle. Amen? He lives in you from top to bottom. God designed you so that He could do one thing, is live on the inside of you. And when He lives on the inside of you, He moves in. But he didn't take over without you saying, okay.
That's right.
Amen. He may move some furniture around and you'll trip over it.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Yeah.
What was that? But he likes to do that because he likes to have your attention. Amen. There may be some things you trip over. You might stub your toe in the middle of the night. Because God wants you to know how much He loves you, and He wants you to know that He's there.
Amen? You're increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened, verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, to all patience and to all patience and long suffering. You're strengthened to that. I like to read the Word of God very slowly. If you read it too fast, you miss a lot. You know, you're trying to get the context, I understand. But slow down and pick up the words He uses. Strengthened, you are strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, to all patience and long suffering with, last word in there, joyfulness. You are strengthened to all patience and long suffering. The strengthening you're receiving is the fact that you're walking with patience and long suffering in joyfulness. A lot of you just do patience and long suffering in misery. Like me. There's some things that I could comment on patience and long suffering. Grin and bear it, like the guy said, with joyfulness. Doesn't mean the thing that you're patiently long suffering over is a joyful thing. But what it means is you have a foundation of joyfulness that cannot be stopped, can't be defeated. Amen? You're not a miserable person. You are in fact a joyful person. Certainly, Philippians chapter 4, you know, which says, let them see your moderation in all things, not your swearing and complaining and moaning and groaning over all things every time somebody sees you. But they know you to be firm, steady, without complaint, not because you're, you know, looking at yourself saying, I got to be good for God. No, but you have a foundation of joy that cannot be defeated. That comes from hearing. That comes being filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That comes from increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened to all power, according to His glorious power, to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. He's always sticking a word in there like that. You know, He'll allow you to suffer with joyfulness. Ooh, that's wrong. Shouldn't have to be joyful. No, it's a result. Is a result of fruit. Remember fruit? Love. What's the second one? I'll sit down and wait for you to come up with it if you're going to look it up. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Everybody start at the first three. What's the second one? Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm hard of hearing. Are y'all soft as speech? Giving thanks to the Father. So with you got that joyfulness. You're giving thanks. In fact, in the middle of that long-suffering and patience, you're giving thanks to the Father, which has made us, prepared us to be partakers, made us meet, fit, prepared to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. We'll start up next time somewhere close to that. He has delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son. So I have been moved from here to here. Full transfer. Remember what I said before? Before I wasn't in the grace of God, now I'm in it. I'm living in it, swimming in it, breathing it, walking in it. Hallelujah. Where do you get that? From all of it. Just pulling it all together. Pulling all the scriptures together. Amen? Grace and peace be to you. Through the knowledge. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, God is doing good things. Amen? I mean, I hope you're blessed. Amen. It wasn't a, you know, I didn't teach you about the history of the world. I didn't teach you about Revelation. I just teach you about what God's doing in you. And you're happy, you're the happiest person on the face of the planet. Tell your face. Tell your face. Hallelujah. I am the happiest person on the face of the planet. Amen. It's not even 1 o'clock. Glory to God. Y'all might even make it to Luby's. Back in the old days, we all used to go to Luby's.
They still have Luby's?
Yeah, there was one way over there. Yeah. Used to go to Colonial. Piccadilly. Where's it? Where'd y'all go? Hey, when I was a kid, we went to Wyatt's.
Oh, yes.
Wyatt's Cafeteria. That's
yes.
Right. All right, Father, we just thank you for this word. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God, which is able to save our souls. We thank you for the glorious gospel, which is bringing to pass in us that which you've already done in our hearts. You're transforming me into your image. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Everybody, thank you, Jesus, for transforming me daily into your image. Thank you that I live in the grace of God. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you as we give today, Lord. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest as we in meeting all of our needs and to, in fact, meet all the needs of the church and to meet all the needs of the end of the give those who are giving. Father, we thank you that you are loving us and that as we walk in grace, we also are walking in your abundance. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.